Tonight I'd like for you to turn to where we left off last Monday night in John chapter 4. In this particular passage, last week, we asked the question, who is it that we worship? We've already settled the fact that everyone worships. So that's the conclusion that we've come to long ago. Everyone on earth was created with a responding mechanism to God, and so everyone on earth worships something or someone or nothing. But the true worshipers, Jesus said, are those who worship the Father. They clue in to who it is that we're worshiping. And we talked last week a little bit about let me ask you, what was the key word as we were talking about who it is that we worship last week? Can someone give me the key word? Starts with an A. Thank you very much. Why don't we just say that together? Audience. And we talked about an important part of worship is cluing into who it is that we worship. But we talked about the fact that all of us have arrows of affection and devotion. And so we likened worship to an arrow. And we talked about how easy it is for us to come into places of corporate worship and to not even have the foggiest idea in our heart of who the audience of our worship is. And so we come in and start singing songs and we start making confessions, but we've never really tuned in to who it is that we're singing to. That we're singing, as we spoke last week, to the incomprehensible God who by new spiritual birth has given us the right to call Him Father, to call Him Daddy, Abba. And that we come with great awe when we come into worship. And so as you entered this place tonight, hopefully you are beginning to tune in, since you are Baylor students and are on the ball, that you would begin to ask, where's the target? Because I have arrows tonight of worship and affection, and I don't want to just shoot them off into the walls and into the ceiling and into the sides of the room. I don't want to just worship haphazardly. I want to send my arrows of affection tonight and my arrows of devotion tonight. I want to find the heart of God. I want to find the heart of the Father. And men and women, listen to me. We have the incredible privilege in worship. You explain it to me. I can't even understand it myself. But we have the incredible privilege in worship through Jesus Christ to touch the heart of God. We find the audience of our worship. We find the target. And as someone said last week, we aim for the target with our worship. But as we talk about who we worship, and we talk about audience, it brings us to a second word tonight, and it's the content of our worship. That when we find the audience of our worship, it always leads us to think about the content of our worship. So first word is audience. Second word is, say it with me, content. Say it with me if you would, content. And so tonight I want us to move from audience to think about how we worship, not just who we worship, but how we worship. And Jesus addresses that in this key text that we've been looking at. He says in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews." Key verse 23. "But an hour is coming, and now is, when those who worship," "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." So we've seen who it is we're worshiping, and tonight Jesus begins to help us focus on how it is that we become those who are the true worshipers. And what are the two qualifications that we see in this text that we worship in? And in? And see, I think that when we get God clearly in view, when we get God clearly in focus, the incomprehensible God who by grace has given us the right to call Him Father, when we get our mind's attention, as we spoke last week, and our heart's affection centered on the Lord, it has a tremendous impact on the expressions that we make in our worship. Once we tune in to who the audience is of our worship, it seems to have a direct effect on the way that we say the words that we say in our worship. Now, there are two key words here. Let's look at the first one, in spirit. Now, what is Jesus saying? Those who are the true worshipers must worship in spirit. He's saying that to connect with God, to be able to have dialogue with God, to be able to converse with God, we must converse with God through the means of spirit. And he answers the reason why that is a little bit later, because he says God is spirit. And what Jesus is alluding to, men and women, is this, that we must have come to life on the inside. We must have spiritual life, new spiritual birth. We must be, in Jesus' words, born again. We must have come into the family of God and have a living spirit birthed by God within us if we're going to communicate with God. Because you don't communicate with God through flesh to spirit. You communicate with God spirit to spirit. Now that spirit voices itself out of our mouth, but the connection is a spiritual connection. And Jesus says the true worshipers will worship in spirit. Now I want you to look back in your Bible, just two pages to, or may not even be a page in your Bible, to John chapter 3. Jesus is giving a little more amplification to this theme as he's talking to Nicodemus, a passage that you know really well. Read with me in verse 3 of John 3. And Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now Nicodemus was confused and he said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," and the implication there is physical birth, and you see that by the next verse, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, you're fully alive because you've been born of the flesh, but you need to come to life on the inside, which means being born of the Spirit. Because when you were born physically, you got all that physical fleshly birth, but until you're born of God, the Spirit is dormant because of sin. The wages of sin is death, and that death is residing in spiritual death inside our outside living bodies. And then turn back one more page to John chapter 1. We sort of do a backwards progression, and so this gets clearer and clearer. And I'll tell you why we're stopping here tonight, because it dawns on me all the time what a tragedy it would be. Listen, for someone to be in this building tonight singing, "His banner over me is love. I can feel the love of God in this place." And they're singing that. The words are coming clear from their mouth. But somewhere along the way in life, they have never come to a clear understanding of salvation through Jesus Christ. And somehow they may have just slipped through the cracks of spiritual activity, and they may have landed in a place like this and said, well, I know there's a God, and that's great, and I want to sing to Him, but there's never been a point in their life where by faith they put their trust in the work of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, received spiritual life and were born again. And if that's the case, you find someone who is singing all the words, but they are not worshiping. Because worship is not done through words. It is done through spirit. And maybe you've been in here singing these songs for weeks. And maybe you're in church on a Sunday singing the songs. And for some reason you just don't feel the connection. I can offer to you tonight, it may be because there hasn't been a spiritual birth take place in you. In John chapter 1 verse 12, he tells how spiritual birth happens. And look what he says. He says, "But as many as received Him," that's Jesus, if you look back up in the context of the passage, "to them Jesus gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Now stay with me really closely right here. The word here, "even to those who believe in His name," does not say, if you take the translation there of what is written, "even to those who believe there is a God." He says, the text says, "as many as received Him," which means fully embrace His person and His work. As many as received Him, as many as fully embraced His person, the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. To as many as believed on His name, as many as put their hope in who He is and what He's done. And look at the next verse in verse 13. I love this. Who were born then as a result of receiving who He is and believing in His name. Look what happened in verse 13. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? They were born of God. And so there's a simple equation here. That is, when we come to receive or embrace all of who Jesus is and what He's done on our behalf, namely that He came to earth, that He died on the cross as payment for sin, that He rose from the dead to give us life everlasting, that as many as received Him embrace that truth and put their hope in that, that in them He will birth or give the gift of spiritual everlasting life. They'll be born again, as He said to Nicodemus. Not a physical birth, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but born of God. I don't know if it's appropriate. I've never seen it done before. But I just feel sort of impressed tonight that maybe there's somebody sitting in this room and you're saying in your mind, that registers with me. And I don't know for sure that there's ever been a point in time in my life that I put my trust and my hope in the person of Jesus Christ and asked Him to give me the gift of spiritual life and was born again. And do you know the very first act of Christian worship for all of us? Do you know what it is? What is the very, very first act of worship, true worship, that any of us ever did? Think about it. What was the very first act of Christian worship, true worship, that you ever did? Hello? It's when you put your trust and faith in Jesus as Lord. And for some of you tonight, that's the beginning point. I think, why don't we just pray together? And I'd like to give some of you a chance right in the middle of this talk. We'll come back to the second point in a minute. In the middle of this moment, to just put your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the stillness of this moment, if you feel certain in your heart as you're sitting there, maybe you're all the way up in the balcony, or sitting in the very back, or sitting on the floor back there, are sitting within 10 feet of me, and you're saying, I don't know for sure that I've ever been born again. I don't know for sure that I've ever come to a moment like that of putting all my hope and trust in the work of Jesus and asking Him to come and give me the gift of eternal life, to give me the gift of forgiveness, to come and birth new life in me. Maybe you might just pray right in the quietness of your heart a prayer to Him like this. Father, tonight I want to be born again. I want to have spiritual life. I have physical life. But I want to have life on the inside. I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe He came to pay for my sin. I believe He rose from the dead. Because of His death, I receive Your forgiveness. Would You birth in me spiritual life? And give to me eternal life. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The true worshipers worship in spirit and in what? Truth. See, content gets down to two areas. And one is, do I know for sure that I have spiritual life? But secondly, if I know for sure that I have spiritual life, do I know for sure that the things I'm saying are true? And it is so easy for us to come into worship and some chorus pops up and we just start to sing, and if you're really musically inclined, you may just want to bellow it out. If you're not so musically inclined, you might want to lay back a little bit and let your neighbor bellow it out and try to figure out what key we're in. But I mean, you might be singing and it may never dawn on you because probably you haven't clued into the audience and really seen the face of God. It may never dawn on you, is this true? Is what I am saying and singing true? Is it a true confession? You see, communication is maybe the key to relationships. Would everybody maybe agree with that? I mean, communication is what makes relationships work. And in our relationship with God, it is no different. Communication is vital, and it's not just what we say, and you'll learn this more and more as you go along in life. Trust me, it's not just what we say, it's what? How we say it. And it's not just what we say, and it's not just how we say it, it's also if we mean it. I mean, you can tell somebody straight to their face, oh, whatever they want to hear, but if you don't mean it and you don't back it up, does it matter to them that you said it? Or how you said it? No. And when we come to God, it's important that we think about the role of communication, and we think about spirit and truth, and we think about our own personal communication to God. Now let me give you a little bit of an example of this if I can. And guys, you need to pay really, really careful attention to what I'm about to say, okay? Just trust me on that. I went over to the bookstore today. The Baylor bookstore. It's an incredible bookstore. What a great place. And I went and roamed through the greeting card section. I want to just say on record that our bookstore has one of the best greeting card sections of any bookstore in America. I mean, there's just all kind of greeting cards there. There were a lot of women in the greeting card section, I want to say. There was one guy there the whole time I was in there. I was in there for a few minutes. There was one guy in there. I don't know if you're the beneficiary of that in here tonight, and if you are, bless your heart, but there was one guy in there, and he might have been buying his dad a birthday card. I don't know, but there was one guy in there. There are all kinds of cards in there, and they express communication. Now, let me share with you a couple that I found. This one is a $2 number. This is pretty impressive here. It's from Hallmark. It's the Between You and Me collection. And it's got a nice little watercolor on it. Can you see that okay? Now, let me come out a little bit so you can see this. I don't want you to miss it because I don't want you to think I'm not giving you the straight scoop on this. It's just a little nice little watercolor thing. Can you see that? Guys, this is the greeting card. This is what you give someone to express to them how you feel, okay? And let me just read this one for you right here. Here's what it says, and I'm going to read this verbatim. I should let you look over my shoulder just to make sure I'm not making this up, because this is true. It says, is it just me, or has the whole world changed all of a sudden? No, don't laugh. Somebody might have given this to someone else in here today, and it's, what you don't want to do is be laughing right now, okay? Some of you girls are saying, I'll take it. Just give it to me right now. It doesn't even have to be signed. Just give it to me. Check this out. When we're together, everything seems different. I look around and the sky seems bluer, the grass seems greener, and everyone I see seems to be smiling and enjoying life. Second page. This is a two-pager. Serious relationship. Pardon me if I can't get through all this all the way. I'm not saying that we have all the answers, but somehow being with you makes ordinary things seem more extraordinary every day. Maybe it's just me. Or maybe it's just us. Isn't that great? Right there. Now what I love, here's what I love. Now it's just me. This cost me $2 right here. Now it's just me. But down at the bottom it says the guy's name that wrote that. Who's that? Paul Conrad wrote that. Now who is Paul Conrad is what I want to know. I mean, he's linked in with a computer somewhere, probably lives in Iowa, and he sends that into the Hallmark headquarters in Kansas City. I got four new cards for you, and he sends them in, and then I go buy it, right? And I say to you, hey, Paul Conrad wrote something really nice, and I want to give it to you. Okay, this is Exhibit A, okay? Can you help me with that? Can you just hold on to Exhibit A for me? You're going to need to raise your arm a little bit later and hold it up. Now, here's Exhibit B. Now, some of you girls are thinking, a card. I'd like to get a card from a guy. That'd be great. This is Exhibit B. This is one of the cards I like because it doesn't have Paul Conrad or Timmy whoever in it. It's a blank deal. You know the ones that have a little thing on the top? Blank inside. Now look at this one. I wish you could see this. I wish I could blow it up for you. It has a cow on the front. Can you see that? Can you see that? Now hold on just a second. Now, you people that have the cheap seats back here miss out on everything. It has a cow on the front, okay? And this is the greatest part, though. This one right here cost $1.75. So this is a pretty good investment right here. You're thinking maybe lunch tomorrow or something, you know, a cheap lunch. Has a cow on the front. Can you see that? But more than that, check it out. It has actual suede on it, and it makes kind of touchable, rubbable cowhide. Isn't that interesting? Can you see that in the front back there? It has a little raised black suede on it. So you can feel, can you feel that? Feel that. That's great. Isn't that incredible? Now, I got that one because, guys, you might want to say, it's blank inside. Now, so don't just give it to them. Here, I got this for you. Oh, that's very nice. Guys, if you get this one, you have to write something in it. But that's better than Paul Conrad, as far as I'm concerned, even if I'm not a poet, right? I just put my name in it. It's better than Paul Conrad saying, I don't know if it's us or if it's just me or whatever. I'm going to give you a hint, guys. If you want to get this one, I got the last one, but they might have a reorder in there. You might want to say something like, you bring me utter joy. I mean, that would just be a great little deal for this one right here. The guy went, God, why didn't I think of that? That's great. Okay, you got exhibit B, okay? So can you hold on to that? But it looked like that confused you a little bit. I better find somebody else. Can you take that for me? He's going, oh, wow. So that's exhibit A. You remember exhibit A, right? Watercolor thing, Paul Conrad, 2 pages, $2. This one's only, don't take it out now. Keep it in there. $1.75. He's going to keep that, steal it. Give it to you probably later on this week. Now here's exhibit C. Now exhibit C I did not get at the bookstore because, frankly, when you look down all those things at the bookstore, anybody can walk in there and pay $1.75 and get something. So I'm going to ask you a question, girls, and you're going to have to help us out here, and the guys will be paying close attention. But what if you woke up tomorrow, and when you left your dorm room or your condo apartment, whatever, that this was attached to your front door? It's just a plain brown vanilla manila. I mean, it's no big deal. And it was attached to your door. Now, obviously, if you live in a dorm, he would have gotten one of your friends to do it because we don't want anybody breaking the law or anything like that. But he's somehow gotten this on your door. And it has your name on it. I didn't put your name on it because I didn't know your name or I couldn't fit all your names on there. But it had your name on it. And tell you the truth, if I was him, I would have just sealed it with some kind of a little heart or something right there. So you'd have to break that open to get inside of it just as a prelude to what's to come. And you open it up. And there was just a little, I mean, we're not talking $2. We're not talking $1.75. We're talking some scraps of paper. Little Elmer's glue, pen, pair of scissors, but there was just a little card in there. It was turquoise and it had a little white deal stuck on it, and out of the middle of it was cut a little heart. You see that? And it just said something like this. You okay? Yeah. It just says something simple. It says, I'm not really sure I have the words to say to convey my heart to you. You are a gift beyond compare, a precious treasure to me. I'm so glad you're in my life. I love you. That's it. That's it. No fancy deals. Not 2-pager. Don't fold it open. Paul Conrad didn't write on it. Just a little deal, okay? Okay, so let's review. You got exhibit A. Can you hold that up for us a little bit? Why don't you just go and stand up with that if you would? Thank you very much. I hate to make you do that. That's exhibit A. You remember that? And you got exhibit B over here. If you go ahead and stand up with that. Utterly delightful or whatever it was. And then this is exhibit C. And I'm just going to, I want you to be honest. I want you to be honest. You can, we'll just do the applause meter kind of thing, see what you feel. But ladies, you have a choice. Let's assume there is a guy out there and he is thinking about you. And he's going to send you a card tomorrow. This guy back there, look at him. He's going, what was that? You're a gift beyond compare. What was that next part? A precious treasure to me. I'm so glad you're in my life. I love you. He was going, what was that last line? Obviously, she doesn't go to choice. And this is exhibit C. I'll just hold it up. Now, you get a choice, ladies. You're going to get one of these put on your door tomorrow. You're going to get exhibit A. Everybody who wants exhibit A right back here, go ahead. Okay, great. We've got to take her up here. It was Joe McDaniel right here wants exhibit A. That's kind of a strange thought, but we'll move on to something else. Okay, exhibit B. You like exhibit B on your door? Okay, that's okay. Don't feel so. Is that a guy clapping back there? It's for the ladies to vote. Thank you if I didn't say that real clearly. Okay, or you can get exhibit C put on your door somewhere tomorrow. Anybody? All right. Looks like we have a landslide. No doubt I might have influenced that somewhat by the way I set that up. But thank you very much. I appreciate your help. What's the point? I mean, there's got to be a point. And here's the point. Communication is vital to our relationships. And we understand that. If we don't understand it, you need to understand it. And I'm telling you the truth. That there's no doubt that if you have a special feeling towards some girl and you give her this card, that's a good thing. There's no doubt about that. And she would appreciate it and she would thank you for it. She might give you one back. There's no doubt if you went to the blank card and tried to write something inside that she would appreciate that probably even more. Because you took the time to write some expression. But I want to tell you something. If you come down with something that you cut out and paste together and glue together and stick in an envelope and make it over to her place and put it on the door, she's going to say yes to this. She's going to stick this right up where she studies, where she can see it. She's going to put it inside one of her book covers and carry it with her. She's going to put it on her mirror. She's going to keep this. Because it signifies some things to her. About your heart. And I'll tell you a couple of them. If you're taking notes tonight, the first thing that's important in our content and one of the things that we see in this card is this. It signifies preparation and thought. Why don't you say that with me? It signifies preparation and thought. One of the key things in worshiping in truth is preparation and thought. And I'm just going to come at you straight on with this tonight. That is a missing commodity in present day Christianity. We live in such a hectic world that we just buzz right into God's presence, plop right down, shake a few hands, crank up the worship, and we just start singing out of our hearts. And there is rarely, listen to me, men and women, there is rarely in any given time on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, on a Monday night in this setting, wherever we come to worship, where there is actual preparation and thought that goes into the worship. Now, I'll tell you the truth, we put a lot of preparation and a lot of thought into what we do here. We don't walk in at 8 o'clock and say, well, let's sing this chorus and let's sing that chorus and let's sing this chorus. But we are seeking God's heart for what does He want to say? What does He want us to respond to Him with? How does He want to lead the worship? And then we work hard at that. But that only matters if you're working just as hard at preparing your heart. I want you to look at a passage. We'll look at this one last passage. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I want to tell you, it is a challenging passage. It is a mouthful to contemporary Christianity. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse 1, I want you to look at it. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to look on with somebody close to you. I want you to see this with your eyes. It says in verse 1, guard your steps. I'll wait just a moment. Ecclesiastes 5. That's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Read with me and look at verse 1. It says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. For He takes no delight in fools. Do what you say. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Look at verse 1 again. Guard your steps as you go near the house of God and come near to listen rather than offer a sacrifice. And one of the things that is going to make this kind of communication important is someone knows that time and thoughtfulness went into this. And I would encourage you. Moreover, I would challenge you, beg you, that when you come to worship, that you come thinking about preparing your heart. And it is great to come into church on a Sunday and say hello to the people around you and hug the people who are on your row and shake hands with people you haven't seen. But at some point in time, you must take the responsibility. I must take the responsibility to sit down, take out the order of worship, look at the two hymns we're going to sing, take out the hymn book, open the hymn book, read the words that we're going to confess together, and think about what we're about to do. The order of worship is not there so that you and I have something to read in the low points of the service. In fact, men and women who want to effectively lead worship are doing themselves a tremendous disservice by even having one. Because my experience says if you give people something to read, they're going to read it. And if you need to give people announcements, fine. Give them to them on the way out and let them read them on the way home. But the order of worship is there for you and I to sit down, to look through it, to say, wow, we're going to sing holy, holy, holy. And you turn the page and you begin to look through the verses of that hymn and think about those words and prepare your heart to worship Him. I don't want to push this point too far. I don't want to come down too strong. But I'll tell you this, we long for the day that we walk in this place and hearts are prepared to worship. We long for that day. Second key ingredient, not only is preparation and thought, but two, examination of the expression. The second step to having effective communication of truth is that we examine our expression. And that's what I'm alluding to, that we think about what we're saying for two reasons. One, is it biblical? Is this chorus I'm singing biblical? Is it true? Does it reflect God's revelation to us? If worship is a response to God, is this statement a clear response to Him? Does it match His character? You know, there's some choruses that when you really think about them, you go, I don't even know if that's biblical. It's nice, but is it biblical? Is it true? Does it reflect God's revealed character? So we're examining our expression. We're thinking about what we're singing. Third step is that we examine our heart. That we not only examine what we're saying and think about what we're saying, but we examine the heart. We talked about worshiping God with a whole heart a few weeks ago, and I'll just refer you back to that, because the heart is the source that authenticates our worship, because worship doesn't come from the mouth, worship comes from the heart. I like this text where it says in times in Ecclesiastes 5, it's better to come to God with few words. It's better to come still and quiet before Him. And I want to offer this to you tonight. And I know that it's challenging. It's challenging to me. But how can we dress up in our finest clothes and come together in corporate celebration and stand there and with a bold face lie to God? And yet we do it all the time. We do it all the time. And I'll tell you what it indicates, men and women. It indicates that we have never, ever tuned in to the audience of our worship. And we'll find ourselves, because we know the words, singing, wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. And He's saying, no, you won't. You have a hard heart. And you don't follow me. And you don't obey me. And you don't live for me. And I say to you that sometimes, for me, the most appropriate response of worship is silence. Because I'm looking and I'm examining the expression. And then I start to examine my heart, and there's a gulf. And I have the courage to say to a God who loves me and who graces me through Jesus, that's not true of my heart. And I'm not going to stand here tonight. I'm not going to stand here this morning and just lie to you. Because men and women, God's Word says He holds us to the vows we make before Him. And He said it is better not to make a vow than to make a vow that we do not keep. And God is honored by that. He is a compassionate Father. He knows our frame. He understands that we are dust. He's the one who made us. And He understands our heart when He says, I'm glad tonight. I'm glad this morning that you recognize that your heart is not there and that you're just quietly contemplating and thinking and maybe allowing the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. And then maybe repentance will come. And maybe while everybody's singing a chorus, you'll get your heart right with me. And somewhere in the night, because you're getting your heart right with me, you can worship then in spirit and worship in truth. Truth says there's preparation and thoughtfulness. There's an examination of the expression of worship. There's an examination of the heart. And truth lastly says, and we'll close tonight by saying this, truth says that my life matches my words. My life matches what I'm saying. It matches my words and my confession. In other words, if you catch me on a Thursday afternoon, or you catch me working on a homecoming float, or you catch me on a date, or you catch me out in my campus activity or in class or at work, or if you catch me in any phase of life, what you see in life is going to match these confessions that I make in public. And that the worship that I'm saying to be truthful means it must fall into a life that reflects that truth. You see, men and women, I'm telling you, that God isn't looking for a symphony choir. He's not looking for the greatest harmony on earth. He is not looking for the loudest praise that there has ever been, or the greatest rhythm. Some of you can't even clap on the beat. And God says, so what? I'm interested and those men and women who will worship me in spirit, they've been born again. And they'll worship me in truth. And that when I get the arrow of their affection and their devotion, when thoughtfully and personally it comes to me, I know that what they said matches what they do. Now, I'll tell you something, man. I think you've got your work cut out for you tonight. But there's not a girl in this room, not a girl in this building, no matter how desperate, no matter how many cardless weeks there have been, there's not a woman in this place who says, I want this card on my door, and I don't care if it's true or not. In fact, you can put this on my door, and I can see you walking hand in hand across the campus with another girl that afternoon. It doesn't matter. Just put it on my door. She says, you can keep your card. It's a nice card, granted. My choice is A, B, or C. I'm choosing your card, but you can keep your card because it doesn't fit your life. And it sounds harsh, maybe, but maybe God says at times, you can keep your choruses. You can just keep all your enthusiasm. And you can just keep all of your wonderful singing because it doesn't match. Doesn't match the way you live. And one broken heart, one yielded spirit, one repentant will is more worship to God, I think, than 1,000 voices. Because the Father, He's roaming in this place tonight. What a thought. And He's looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. What about you? What about me? Father, thank You tonight. For the incredible thought that You desire worship and have given us the privilege of knowing You personally through Jesus, and allowed us to become those who now can worship You in spirit and truth. Lord Jesus, thank You for that conversation with the woman at the well, where You not only taught us who to worship, but You taught us how to worship. Father, thank you for giving us a vivid picture tonight of how important communication is in our relationships. Far more than what we say, but how we say it. And far more than just how we say it, but whether or not we mean it. And our hearts together, I can feel it in this place, God. Our hearts have been challenged tonight. Because we're face to face with haphazard and lackadaisical, aimless worship, which is not worship at all. And maybe we move our mouths, but we cannot honestly engage our hearts. And Father, it's easy for us to think in this moment about what you've said, but somehow by your grace, somehow by your work in us, by your Spirit, you've got to bring it home to us deep in our heart. Not for tonight, but for every time we worship you in our lives on this earth. Until we are old and gray, if we have that privilege, that we would be those who prepare to meet you. And who worship in spirit and truth. God, I praise you tonight because you are salvation. And I believe you birth new spiritual life to many who ask you tonight. And now, for the first time, they can connect with you and touch your heart. Thank you for giving the gift of salvation tonight by your Spirit. And now draw us in these closing moments as we sing to you, as we lift our hearts to you.